This is a much anticipated time of the year, especially for the young at heart among us, and maybe some of those of us who have a little older heart. We anticipate this time of year of celebration, but a time of waiting as well. Advent, waiting to celebrate the coming of Emmanuel, this mysterious act of God making home on this earth. Home can mean several things to us. It can mean an address that we live at, a family or people group that we have an affinity or a deep love and connection for. Another aspect may be that home is a place where one can feel most oneself, most comfortable. And still another, home is an internal place where one can be totally honest with oneself and those around them. It's so easy in our culture and even within our faith community to put up a facade, to wear these literal and figurative masks, imparting a message that all is well, or at least hiding a certain aspect of ourselves. What is it that keeps us from being at home with each other, and most importantly, ourselves? Well, we just heard read about three distinct communities of people in our scriptures who are in the quest for home, a sense of meaning and belonging. Their first community in Jeremiah was speaking to the Israelites of Judah. And the Judah was the southern kingdom of the Israelites who had been overtaken by the Babylonians under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. And to place this into context, Israel, the northern kingdom, had already been destroyed by the Assyrian Empire. And time had passed enough for things to cool down a little. And so when things are cooling down there, things were heating up for the Babylonians, and they grew in strength. And so took control of the southern kingdom, Judah. As a result, the Israelite elite of Judah were taken into exile in Babylon, and the poor fled to Egypt. Jerusalem, the holy city, and the temple were destroyed. Judah was thrust into political, social, and religious upheaval. Their home, as they knew it, was no more. And Jeremiah, priest and prophet, was a lone voice in a mix of voices, trying to create meaning out of this chaos. His message was one that offered both judgment and hope, giving the Israelites in exile a message from the Lord. It was a promise that God was still with them where they were, even in exile. And it was because God was with them that they could settle down. They could plant gardens. They could create a home there. In fact, it would help them stabilize themselves in their community and in their faith. And seeking peace in that city would not only benefit them, it would benefit their neighbors. Well, this sounds like good news to my ears, but it wasn't so great of news for whom Jeremiah, the listeners of Jeremiah. They were in exile. They did not feel at home. And not only that, Jeremiah said this was going to last 70 years. Does that sound hopeful? There were other people's voices that were preaching either revolt Or, you know, this is only going to be a short time. Don't settle down too long because you want to be ready to go back home. Those were easier voices to listen to than that of Jeremiah. As so often is the case, God's timing was not their desired timing. Perhaps their invitation, whether they wanted it or not, was to slow down, settle down, and tune into God's way of being with them, which wasn't tied to an external place like a temple or a city. It was a message to trust in God's promise of presence with them no matter where they were. The second community of the disciples, as we heard in the Gospel of John read this morning, was like a small community who were living in an intensive faith formation experience right alongside their teacher, Jesus. And that provided them with intimate space to ask some really difficult questions, to witness, to listen, and to learn from the one they were counting on to save them, to usher them into the new kingdom of God. And the context of this particular conversation was during the Last Supper, when they were with Jesus, sitting around eating. They were full of questions about Jesus' confusing words foreshadowing his death. And John paints Jesus' words with poetic imagery of Jesus being one with God, and anyone who was one with God was one with Jesus. And anyone who loved Jesus, God would love also. And that once Jesus was to leave, the Holy Spirit would come to be God's presence with the people. And out of this triune interweaving of love would come peace. That is otherworldly, and that can speak louder than fear. Well, Jesus wasn't talking about a concrete place or only when his presence was here you will experience this. It was to be found internally in each of those disciples, in each person that believed in him. It was this abstract place that the disciples just couldn't wrap their minds around at the time. This teaching of Jesus was an invitation to seek God beyond Jesus' own flesh and to know God's love from within. The third community was a divided church in Rome, where Gentile Christians and Jewish Christians were at odds with one another. Paul wrote the letter addressing the two communities as one community. And Paul called out both groups of Christians. The Gentile Christians, he said, were boasting that they were not bound by the Jewish law, and so were able to do certain things. And the Jewish Christians were using their heritage and tradition as an advantage for boasting their credibility. Paul was challenging both of them to put aside their stakeholders and identity, and in its place, hold the centrality of Christ. The centrality of Christ's reconciling love, which would unify them in living out their faith. Paul was challenging each of them to see that Jesus was not solely found in their own respective heritage and traditions, but rather than that tradition and was transcended and transformed by the Jesus way of love, devotion, joy, hope. Sharing with those in need, practicing hospitality, and living at peace with everyone. The formation of our sense of home, our sense of faith, can both literally and figuratively look or feel like any one of these communities. We may find ourselves in a place where we feel uprooted from our homeland, scattered from our people. Faced with losing that which has anchored our faith in the past. Or suddenly at odds with those we have intimately connected to. These places are ones that can cause or to feel like it throws us into disorientation, a crisis of faith, or stoke a renewed quest for God's presence. So we are challenged with these communities to embrace God's presence not only around us, but most importantly, within us. We are challenged to claim that God's presence doesn't rely on a building. We're challenged to trust that God's love is interwoven into our being, and that when we say yes to that love, the troubles and fears of this world lose their power. We are challenged to know that the centrality of Christ's love is that which binds us together in unity, regardless of our differences. But there is much pull and temptation to separate ourselves from God's love, to seek after that which bolsters our ego, gives us a boost, to buy into the idolatry of money and power. To give power that breeds bitterness and ill will towards the other, whoever that other might be. Or the temptation to wield our heritage and tradition to dominate another. Doing so influences our outlook. It influences our view and relationship with God. And it influences our community and world. And so for this, we confess when we fall short in living out God's peace and shalom in ourselves, in those, and in those around us. With the desire, it's coupled with the desire of wanting to live in God's love so that that peace might also be ours.